It's Tuesday, December 20th.
Our top story today is all AMD Ryzen. I'm going to be Ryzen out my PC. I don't know about you.
We need to note that next week the news might not be right on time because of the holiday. So
might be a day or two late.
Don't freak out if there's no news next week. There will be news, but it might be a little bit late.
We'll just do filler nonsense instead. Maybe. Possibly. Depends on what we can get done.
Amazingly, no corrections this week. I read most of the comments, I think, and I don't think there's any corrections. So
going down the rabbit hole of YouTube comments. Well, we've got a little bit smaller audience now. So
there's always opinions, but I'm not going to count that. There's a lot of comments that are like, you need to give less opinion. And it's like, isn't that an opinion? But we do have some updates, and we have an I Told You So.
Oh, yes, we definitely do have an I Told You So. Let's start with the updates. So the first update that we've got is about the Pebble smartwatch. So this is not really a correction, but the Fitbit people that bought the Pebble smartwatch, if you didn't see that last week, Pebble has been acquired, which is sort of weird because last year they got an acquisition offer that was a lot more. I mean, they were sort of in emergency mode this year. I guess the venture capital cash or whatever dried up. I don't really know what happened there. But Fitbit has said, we're not going to turn off the Pebble servers immediately. We're not going to brick your watch because Internet of Things. So, yeah, Pebble smartwatch.
Till 2018. They're going to leave them up till 2018. So, we're going to give you a couple years to transition.
So, it's not so much that the death sentence has been pardoned, but that you're going to be on death row a little bit longer, those of you that have a Pebble smartwatch. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know how long of a lifespan do those things have anyway.
Well,
the batteries are going to need replacing eventually, right?
I inherited a watch that belonged to my grandfather that's like 80 years old. I don't think the Pebble was designed to last that long, but sort of an interesting dichotomy there.
Now, the Pebble didn't necessarily get the call from the governor.
No.
The Note 7 definitely didn't. Verizon was going to not kill it. They didn't feel like it was important to stop their customers' phones from exploding. But they have given in. I suspect they got a lot of angry emails from the legal team.
Yeah. The lawyers were like, what are you doing? You got to stop this.
They sent them an estimate of what that's going to cost them in fiscal 2017, and they immediately said, you know what, we will push that update. We're going to kill those phones.
Yeah, so if you've got a Note 7 on Verizon and you haven't turned it in yet, you better do it soon.
Yep.
So did anybody actually end up with one of these? What was what actually happened with this? Because I'd read in some places that they were just straight up letting you pick another phone and you didn't have to pay for it, and then other places you were only getting you ended up paying an extra couple of $100 for the used Note 7 or whatever. I guess it was different from carrier to carrier, but if you had a Note 7 and you turned it in, let us know what happened, because I'm sort of curious how that was handled. I do know that in one of the profit things, available profit in the smartphone sector as a result of the Note debacle, Apple captured like 108% of the available profit margin, meaning that they captured more profit margin than there was in the market because of the money that Samsung had to spend on the recall. So,
and I bet a lot of people were sort of turned off by that and went Apple.
Yeah.
And went with the turn in.
But I don't know. Don't hold me to that. That's just, we're not reporting that as a story. It was just sort of a funny anecdote. I see you guys Googling.
That doesn't count as a correction.
We do have one I Told You So, which is a lot of people are reporting really bad battery life on the new Mac Pro, to the point that Apple has issued an update, and Apple's update removes the battery life indicator.
When you have a really bad performance metric, just not showing it, we've seen some examples of that not working at all. That's not a way to appease the torches and pitchforks.
Somewhat ironically, Microsoft has done a lot. I've got a Surface Book, and Microsoft has done some, it's an amazing piece of hardware. Microsoft has done some rock, dumb, stupid stuff with this amazing piece of hardware. But one thing they did with the Surface Book refresh was they have what's called the performance base now, and they basically stuck a bunch more batteries and a faster GPU in the keyboard. And that gives you like 8, 10, 12 hours of life, depending on how hard you hit it. This, I'm pretty sure we called this in the beginning, just as soon as the MacBooks were released. It was like, well, what's the watt hours on the batteries? I think we said something like, even though Skylake is way more awesome than the ancient CPUs the Mac Pros were using before, That's only at idle, not under load. Under load, it's not really that much of a power savings. And sure enough, people are like, oh, I'm trying to use my MacBook Pro, and the battery life's pretty terrible. So,
but look how fat and disgusting it is. I mean, what kind of caveman prefers battery life to thin, sexy hardware?
Yeah, that is true. Now, some of the problems with the battery life are also attributed to runaway processes in the background. That may be part of it, but I suspect anybody using their Mac Pro for actually trying to get work done is not going to have marginally better battery life than they, no matter what updates Apple does, unless Apple limits the CPU speed when you're on battery, which I think is about a 75% chance of likelihood. I think that Apple in a future update will bring back the battery indicator, but if you're not plugged in externally, it's going to limit the clock speed, or it's going to limit the CPU in some other way to try to save power, to be like, look, it's fixed, but it's not. The only fix is to add more battery. And I guess when they refresh the model, they can be like, we doubled the life of the battery, and it'll seem like some miracle thing, when in fact they've just, this is why I have problems with Apple. Anyway.
Yeah. Now, another thing we talked about last week, we did some stories about Europe and America doing some horrible things with, internet laws and that sort of thing. And Australia was missing. And it's weird because Australia never misses a chance to do something horrible in those realms.
Well, this week we've got some news for you. It's Australia seeks to ban cash targeting the black economy. We included this just because the koala's eating money.
And it's amazing. This is almost a carbon copy of what India did. They saw that and they were like, hang on a minute. That worked? Get on this. I want this next week. And here it is. So they're getting rid of the $100 bill. And they made the same statement that India did. They want to go cashless in 10 years.
A few things spread as fast as a bad idea.
But that's not all.
Yeah, we've also got some internet companies that have been forced to block things in Australia. A federal court has ruled. This is not good.
Yeah, it's not been confirmed how they're going to block these, and most likely it's going to be at the DNS level. So if you're Australian, just don't use your ISP's DNS server, and you're probably going to be okay. But it's still a terrible thing, and most people don't know to do that. So another step backward for Down Under.
For a free and open internet. Not that we're condoning what these sites do. It's just that when the mechanism exists to block these things, the mechanism for blocking other things will soon follow suit. I mean, can you imagine, like, the Snowden leaks? It's like, oh, you've got the Snowden leaks. It's like, oh, we'll block those. And it's like, well, hang on. There's stuff in those that may be relevant to society. There's stuff in those that maybe should be public.
And those were definitely, they had torrents. They were moved around via torrent. That was one of the popular ways. So it's not, of course, we're not naive. 99% of it is pirate stuff. It's the Pirate Bay, for God's sakes. But, it's not, I don't think it's the government's job to deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. China is also in the news for this same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine that. They're taking action, quote unquote, taking action against thousands of websites for harmful and obscene content.
Now, this is mostly pornographic stuff. But there were some news sites in the group. So it's kind of like, let's target something big that's easy to denounce. But let's put in some dissident shit in there, too, so we can make sure that nobody questions it. And if they do, we'll call them a pervert.
Just like that list that we saw a couple episodes of the news ago, where it was like, oh, did we accidentally include Ron Paul's website in the list of other things? Like, we're not.
There were a lot of accidental inclusions. It's funny. I don't know if we mentioned this, but several of those sites threatened to sue them, the Washington Post, and they printed a little tiny retraction.
That no one ever saw. Well, that's pretty much it for that news. Everything else, I think, is pretty much technical. And the next big story is AMD Ryzen. So it's a little bit meta, though, because they did a press release demo and they released a file, but the first version of the file they released didn't have the same render settings as other files. And so people were having weird results because, if you didn't see it, you should go watch the press release. There's a link to it in the description if we remember to add our one tabs. But they demoed an 8-core, 16-thread desktop part going toe-to-toe with Intel's 6900K. Now, the Intel 6900K is an overclockable part. But this time with Turbo Boost enabled. Now, remember before we had Turbo disabled, which means that the Intel CPU can set its own clock basically within some parameters that Intel sets, and the thermal limits of the motherboard that it's plugged into and some other environmental factors, you know, at the time the CPU is running. But those similar, I mean, AMD has similar features, but those features on the AMD CPU were disabled. And so this showed that the Ryzen CPU was finishing a little ahead of the Intel 6900K. It was, you know, both were 8-core parts. The Ryzen part was running at 3.6 gigahertz. This is really promising because this is sort of a first-generation product. This is a new internal architecture from AMD. But beyond that, there's really not a lot of information. We don't have one ahead of time to play with. Everybody and their brother is making videos about Ryzen and what it could mean and wanting to sort of jawbone. And we haven't done that because there's not enough information. There's not, it's like, it's just aboard the hype train. It's like, I would love to get a bazillion views and have you guys share it and have our opinion. And we were going to do a separate video on it. But then it's like, you know what? There's not enough information here to really comment about this. And we really don't want to contribute to the echo chamber of crazy on the internet. So we're just going to wait until we get our hands on one or until there's more data.
Yeah, even just trying to read about this, there were so many clickbait titles. Yeah. It's like, they're all question form. Is this the big new thing? And it's like, well, is it?
No,
they're asking the question too. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
One of my favorite song lyrics, all you know about me is what I'd sell you. This is the hype train. Don't jump on it yet. Wait till somebody finds out if this is real or not. Because this is they've made a video and they're showing you the video. And it's like, oh, are we just going to buy into that?
No, it's a live stream. Yeah. It's like, I mean, you know, not that AMD is up to shenanigans, but this is a fierce, bitter war. AMD is the underdog here. You know, AMD pulled out a win all those years ago with the Athlon X64. The 64-bit extensions that you're running on your Intel CPU are a result of reasonable engineering from AMD and not the crazy train that Intel was peddling with the Itanium and those 64-bit extensions. So we have a lot to thank AMD for. But this is just, I cannot condone this. This is just not, it's just not anything. So we got an article from Hot Hardware, and Hot Hardware has, you know, some of the stuff from the press release and some of the stuff from the overview. And it talks about the other parts, you know, that are maybe coming, you know, 20 megs of L2 cache, SenseMI technology, 3.4 gigahertz, blah, 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 blah. AM4 platform. Now, one thing that I was able to look up was the AM4 socket, how much power can be delivered through that socket, because a lot of the time there are patents and things like that filed ahead of time. And so pretty much the only information that I was able to really like figure out for sure is that that socket is designed with like 140, 145 watt thermal design power rating in mind. So we're talking about CPUs that are on the order of 150 watts at the top end, which is, you know, basically parity with what we have with Socket 2011. Some of the AMD press release stuff about the AI acceleration cards and what AMD is doing with artificial intelligence, I think were a little bit more exciting, but there's really not enough to go on here. And so everything that you see with Ryzen, everything that you have information about, take with a grain of salt. For now. I'm not saying it's going to flop. I'm not going to say that it's bad. There's a lot here to be excited about, but there's also a lot of missing information, like a crazy amount of missing information. And so I really think that AMD fumbled a little bit too, because they, you know, one of the things that they did was, you know, if you would like to test this on your own Intel rig, here's the files and the setup and the whole nine yards. They didn't really get the details right on exactly what that setup was. And so now a lot of conspiracy theorists are like, oh my God, you know, the demo's been rigged or whatever. That doesn't seem to have been the case. It's just they didn't share the exact render settings that they use with the particular model that they offered for Blender. Now, what I can tell you, though, that's kind of related to Ryzen is, you know, we know that Intel Kaby Lake is coming up, and Kaby Lake tops out at 4 cores. But Kaby Lake is going to be a very fast part. We know that from public statements that Intel has made and some of the stuff from their roadmap. We're talking about these 8-core parts that are 3.6 gigahertz. That's more geared for enthusiasts. And so right now, the 8-core part from Intel is $1,000, and the 10-core part is $1,700, which is pretty squarely in ludicrous country, I think, for, you know, desktop parts. Even for server parts, for what you get, that's a robbery. So I think that the fact that AMD is able to get in the same ballpark, I think we're going to see the prices on those parts come down, which I think will help everybody. But I think that in the desktop thing, that Intel may just throw up its hands and say, okay, we're going to give you a 6-core part that's kind of like Skylake, that's on their roadmap, that's Cannon Lake, And so that's not coming out in the next release, but the one after that. And, you know, if you want 8 cores or 10 cores or whatever, and you've got a workload that needs that, you're going to have to get something more serverish. Intel's already kind of separating the market there. And so the thing to look for from AMD is going to be the APU. And that's going to be the really low cost, you know, 4 cores, something with like a 7970 built-in graphics. Everybody thought the APU was going to come before Ryzen, but it doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like Ryzen's going to be out first. And so I think it's going to be more interesting to see what that APU part is versus the enthusiast part. I'm glad the enthusiast part is coming. I'm totally going to pick one up. I'm totally going to bang on the tires and play with it. And I can't wait for the price to fall out of the bottom of X99 parts, X99 gear, because it's good. But there's still a ton of software out there that just doesn't take advantage of having a bunch of cores. 6 cores is probably the sweet spot between, you know, toe in the water enthusiast and somebody that's performance oriented. As long as you can get the clock speed, 4 gigahertz, 4.5 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, that's where you want to be for clock speed for easiest amount of performance. And, you know, a 4-core or a 6-core at that speed is always going to beat an 8-core for everything except highly multi-threaded workloads. And we just don't have very many highly multi-threaded workloads unless you're doing like something like Handbrake, media encoding, playing games, crap like that. No. Well, in other news, Florida, the other planet of the United States, has decided that somebody has to reveal their iPhone passcode.
Yeah, this was a guy who was taking upskirt photos, and he was using his flash. Genius. And the woman noticed it. So the evidence they have here is they've got him on video. I don't think they've got him on video doing it, but they've got him on video, like, at the location carrying the phone. And so they arrested him, and he agreed that they could go get his phone at his house, and came to his senses when they were on the way. When they got back, he was like, no, I'm not unlocking it. So they've decided that he will be in jail until he gives them the code for his phone so that they can see if those photos are on there.
Wow. That doesn't seem like that's consistent with the Constitution of the United States.
Certainly not. But this is an easy one. I can see how this judge has the balls to do this because it's upskirt photos. I mean, who can defend it? It's indefensible, so it's hard to get people upset when you're selling it like that.
Yeah. Slippery slope. It's really hard to defend awful people, but this is not... It leads to bad things. It really does.
And when it comes to losing your privacy, this is a big one. This I really, really hate this because one of my few vices is driving fast. And coming up, about 2018, federal government has decided all cars must talk to each other. Well, that doesn't sound too bad, right? Yeah, cars can have a nice little conversation. That's not what that means. They're going to constantly be broadcasting speed, GPS location, and direction. At all times, your car is going to be telling all the other cars on the road where it's going and how fast it's going.
That can't possibly end badly.
And this, of course, they're selling this as like a self-driving car type of thing. You know, like they will be able to avoid one another because they'll know exactly, you know, they'll be this hive mind. But of course, the day of the speed trap is going to be over.
Yeah.
They're just going to be a Wi-Fi router sitting there.
I could do it with a Raspberry Pi. Yeah. I mean, we need to get on this. We could make millions from those government contracts.
Yeah. So like speed traps, red light cameras, don't need them anymore. Now you just need something sitting there listening. Your MAC address is going to be on file with the Department of Transportation. They're going to send you a letter and you're going to get a ticket in the mail.
For those of you that don't realize, MAC address is an automatically built-in, globally unique identifier for Ethernet hardware in every desktop computer that's had Ethernet since Ethernet was a thing, since 10 megabit Ethernet. Well, technically even before then, but we're not going to talk about ArcNet. And the deal with this is literally we could go to Big Lots and get a plastic tub, stick a Raspberry Pi in there with an antenna, and we would be able to pick this up and do stuff with this. This is going to be great for stalkers. Yeah. It's like, oh, I found Steve Jobs' license plateless car. Now I can stalk him because I've got the wireless identifier. We don't know if this is going to use Ethernet, but I'm sure there's going to be some kind of identifier in that. Retail stores are already doing this kind of thing with the MAC address on your phone. So like if your phone is looking for wireless networks that's sending out a broadcast, in those packets is the MAC address of your phone, which is globally unique. And so it might not be able to tie back to you, an individual, but you know, if during vehicle registration, you get all the MAC addresses or the globally unique addresses that go with your car's VIN. You better believe your federal, local, and state government is going to have your VIN on file. It would be a simple matter to cross-reference it. And in terms of, like, you know, level of complication, well, let's look at it. You know, a speed camera now is a camera in a van. There's usually a pole. There's a flashing apparatus to make sure that you've got a clear picture of everything that's going on versus Raspberry Pi in a plastic tub.
Not only that, but you are broadcasting your speed. You're not, they don't have to judge it against, like a speed camera has to judge it against a moving target. It has to be stationary. So you could have mobile command stations that are just in traffic that look like a bread truck or whatever, and they're constantly monitoring speeds.
Bread truck? I could do this in a smart car.
Yeah. So expect all of that coming 2018.
Yeah,
it won't even be long.
Every new vehicle since from 2018 on.
And I suspect once we get into the self-driving car world, a lot of people are like, I'm never giving up my car. Well, things like this are going to force you out.
Yeah.
It's going to get to the point where insurance is going to go up and they're going to ticket you into oblivion if you have a human operator. And they're going to force you into the new world of self-driving cars.
And it's not going to be like the friendly tickets like Steve Jobs got for not having a license plate. He's like, oh, I have to pay $100 a month because I don't want to have a license plate on my car. Whoop-de-doo. It's going to be, you have to pay $1,000 a month for your insurance because you're manually operating your vehicle. And that's just too much of a liability.
And you got 5 speeding tickets last month. So we're going to make that 2,000.
You went 3 miles per hour over for 37 feet, 37.3 feet to be exact.
Yeah. That 0.3 doubles the fine.
Well, Facebook's got a new cautious plan to fight fake news.
Yeah, we used a slate.com link here. I didn't notice it said cautious, sensible. Because, yeah, wonder which team they're on. So the worst thing about this, though, I mean, it's pretty bad overall. And I can't confirm this, but I read something that, and I was like, the threads don't quite connect, and I didn't want to expend the energy, but I think Soros is involved with a third-party company that they're using to vet the stories. But the worst part about that is legitimate news sites, who the hell knows how you decide what one of those is, are not going to get this feature. Huh. So you can't flag, I'm assuming CNN's going to be a legitimate news site. So if CNN makes a post, you can't flag it as fake news.
That's interesting. Because CNN has journalistic integrity, I guess. Maybe.
I haven't seen it.
Even though they fired most of the journalists.
But the idea is crowdsourcing. So you can flag a thing with fake news. And if it gets enough, there's going to be a little banner under it that says, hey, this has been flagged as fake news. Take it with a grain of salt.
The anti-fake news technology is going to be almost as interesting as the Internet of Things technologies when it goes wrong. You could almost have like the Benny Hill music. Like whenever we're talking about Internet of Things or technology for fighting fake news, you can almost have the Benny Hill music in the background because it's just, it's a circus. Absolutely a circus.
And a lot of people are going to get rich, and it's going to just make more and more regulation. It's like a regulation machine. It just keeps making
my clicks.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some malware updates, some malware news. It's getting hard to infect your browser, I guess. So malware authors have gone after your router?
Yeah. This, and it only targets, it looks at your local IP address to find the local IPs that are associated with cheap home routers. So if you have like a, you know, a corporate router going to use a different subnet, then it doesn't even serve you the ad. It's like, these guys might be after me. I will ignore them. But if it sees the kind of IP address that, you know, like a cheap Netgear router or something would have, I don't want to pick on Netgear, but a cheap router, it's going to serve you this ad and try to take over your router.
I think Netgear, D-Link, Linksys, a lot of the people that, you know, there are commercial operating systems available to companies that can be purchased and then customized for use on a router. And some of those companies seem to have been stung by common vulnerabilities. But there have also been several Linux security vulnerabilities that go back, you know, a bunch of years. So even routers that are using open source operating systems may have been stung by similar security issues. It's not clear if the malware authors are targeting or planning to target those kinds of things as well. But, you know, who do we know that recently did a video on turning some old computers into a really top-notch commercial-grade router?
Maybe we should link to that.
Maybe we should link to that in the description. So yeah, you could, yeah, I mean, you could turn any old machine. And if you want to get something small and sexy and fanless to be your router, you totally can do that. You're going to be spending some money, but you can totally do that. But if you just have an old crap computer laying around, Core 2 Duo, the gig or two of RAM, it's all you need. You can turn that into a router and you will not have this problem. Actually, you can do really advanced things like log everything and filter this crap. Hell, you can do ad filtering at the router level. It's pretty great.
Yeah. So if you're the kind of person who just goes out and buys a router and never even looks at it again and just turns it on, sets the password, and don't worry about that anymore. Well,
you worry. Got problems.
Yeah.
Also, sort of a new approach for ransomware. Ransomware, if you're not familiar, is your files get encrypted. In order to decrypt your files, you have to pay for a key that will decrypt your files. And usually you pay in Bitcoin. Well, the ransomware authors have taken a different tack on that. If you infect your friends and they pay, you get a free decryption key.
If you can get a friend to sign up for this newsletter, you get free access. Yeah. And now there was another story that we didn't include here, but there was a survey among companies and they found out that almost everybody pays ransomware.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't
do that. So this is not only a hideous thing, but it's successful. These guys are making money doing this. So it's pretty terrible. Please, if you get the Popcorn Time ransomware, don't throw your friends under the bus. Don't pay it, but even worse, don't screw your friends with it. Jesus. Back up your files, have a recovery plan, and if it happens to you, just format.
Not even your friends. It's like, you know, pull up IRC and talk to the malware author and say, it's like, you know, you've infected my home computer. Can I infect my company? And that counts as a 2-for-1. Can we do that?
Can I
guarantee affiliate, that's happening.
Can I get an affiliate plan?
That would be amazing. But the trick is you can't just infect them. They also have to pay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Otherwise, you could just spool up, you know, an endless farm of virtual machines and infect them all. It's like, I infected 30 machines. Will you decrypt my stuff now? It's like, none of that really mattered. No, they got to actually pay. So it's probably bad.
Humanity is a terrible thing.
And Yahoo. Oh, poor Yahoo. Poor. So what was her name? Marissa?
Mayer.
Something like that. She's not having a happy time. Yahoo suffers the world's biggest hack. They've lost 1 billion users.
Yeah, that's and I saw that it was on sale. The whole list was on sale at somewhere in the dark net for $300,000. So for $300,000, you get 1 billion passwords. And it was some other information too, like their name and I don't know. It wasn't anything terrible. I don't think it was like financial data, but still.
Earlier this year, the Twitter was selling 33. Somebody had hacked Twitter or gathered a bunch of Twitter accounts from malware. May not have been a hacked Twitter. And they had 33 million Twitter accounts on sale for about 10 Bitcoin. So 1 billion users for only 300 grand. I mean, that's
a steal.
Seems like a deal.
Now, the big WTF thing here for me is Yahoo has 1 billion users. How did that happen?
Well, Yahoo's existed since time immemorial.
You got to think most of those accounts. I mean, I know I use Yahoo just purely for a spam account. So probably a lot of that.
Does Yahoo predate Google? Because I seem to remember using like Alta Vista and...
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if Google existed, but nobody was using it in those days.
Wow. I mean, it existed in some form, but yeah. Okay. So I would believe that there's maybe 1 billion users on Yahoo if you go all the way back to the beginning of time, but good Lord, apparently the passwords were stored as just unsalted MD5s.
Yeah. Great. Almost as bad as Sony. So if 1 billion Yahoo users are worth 300,000, what do you think all the AOL users are worth?
About 350.
not 350,000.
$3.50. Yeah. The other bad news about this, or the other fallout from this, is that Verizon's getting clued in that maybe buying Yahoo was not a good deal. I can tell them that from day one.
Yeah, their stock took a pretty hard fall this week because Verizon was looking to back out of that deal.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Yeah. That poor Marissa Mayer, she was lauded as like the Jesus CEO because she's a girl and
Google experience.
Oh, it's a feel good story, but it's going bad.
She brought it all started to go wrong when she started to bring the remote workers back into the office. You guys that work for Yahoo, I see you guys in the audience. I know you're all laughing. It is really bad though. I mean, I do feel bad for her because Yahoo definitely had the resources and stuff. Yahoo had an e-commerce platform that was written in Lisp before e-commerce was even like a real thing in the internet. And it just, Yahoo's come up with really amazing technologies, and just the execution, they've misfired. And it's really almost like a Greek tragedy. It really is, because they've got almost nothing to show for it.
They tried to do everything, and rather than focus on doing something well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been an unfortunate situation for Yahoo all around. This could be the death of Yahoo. I mean, we could start seeing layoffs right after this, because without Verizon and without the whole content creation angle, I mean, they did Other Space, which I thought was kind of funny, with one of the guys from Mystery Science Theater. There were some web shows like that at their attempt at online content creation and that sort of thing. And it was funny. It was great. And if you haven't seen Other Space, you should check it out. But I think the problems facing Yahoo are much more serious than people let on. And that may be as much as any, because Verizon has gotten a chance to peek behind the curtain at this point. This may just be an excuse to get away from the deal. So
yeah, I can't imagine how you make money with that sale.
Well, speaking of other really hot boreholes, the world's hottest borehole is nearly complete.
Yeah, this is in Iceland, and it deals with something called supercritical steam. Have you ever seen that?
Supercritical steam? Yes. I think that was when Gabe went on vacation, and then they came out with the paid DLC add-ons. And when they came out with the paid DLC add-ons, that was definitely supercritical steam.
Oh, this is a different kind of supercritical steam. So they're literally drilling into a volcano to get to the hottest geothermal energy sources that anybody's ever gotten to. And this supercritical steam, well, it offers way more power than common geothermal.
So what you're telling me is we're going to be buying all of our electricity from Iceland.
Maybe. I think that would be difficult to transport across the ocean. But
just run wires. It'll be fine.
I got a lot of positive feelings about Iceland, because they were the only country in the world to put bankers in jail. Oh, God. I can't believe that these people destroyed the economy. And it was like, I just keep doing what you're doing, bro. But Iceland locked them up. So anything good that happens to Iceland, I feel like they deserve it.
Speaking of people not where they belong, old people in Japan are getting barcodes on their fingernails.
So these are people with dementia, so mostly old people. But the idea here is, you know, Japan is a very aging society. And they got a lot of problems with people wandering the streets.
Disappearing.
Not knowing what they're up to, you know. And you find them, they might not even have any family. So it's difficult to figure out what to do with them. Well, now they're going to have a QR code on their toenail or whatever. And you're going to scan that, figure out where they live, and take them home.
So it's kind of like getting your pet chipped.
Very much like that. Very much like that. Now, see, I have a great plan. If you're living in Japan and you want to travel, find somebody with one of these QR codes, scan it, figure out what the format is that they use, change the destination of where that person lives to wherever you want to go. Wander the streets naked till somebody finds you. They'll scan you, take you where you want to go. No cost. No cost travel.
Free vacation.
Yeah.
You just have to pretend to be a crazy person.
And when you want to come back, repeat the process.
I don't think we have that here, though. How would you get back?
What do you mean?
Like, get back to America.
Oh, I don't think it works out of country. You have to be in Japan.
I could go to California probably and wander around in California with one of those. It's believable that maybe I would accidentally, as someone suffering dementia, get across the ocean. That would be really bad.
Yeah. Well, they can't ask you questions, you know, because you're just going to be babbling. That's.
I had a close relative suffer from dementia, and the whole like as it was going, it was very much. Well, that's a story for another time, but. It's definitely not a pretty disease, but at the same time, they were cognizant enough of it. They wanted to take the Hunter S. Thompson route, and there was just no real way for them to do that. And so it was a big mess. I could see somebody in Japan with one of these tattoos, if they were in and out of cognizance enough to do that, it might be a really great way to see the country while they're, you know, not on their dime.
Yeah, it is a terrible thing. I mean, we're joking about it, but it's a horrible situation. And Japan, they're only going to see more of this because they have their aging demographic.
Well, they have more old people than... They were not having kids fast enough to replace the aging population. So there's nobody to take care of the elderly.
And they still aren't, I don't think. But the cool thing about it is they're coming up with these innovative ways to deal with it, and their robots are getting amazing at taking care of old people.
I'm really worried about the accidental Skynet, though.
Yeah. It could be like Skynet could be robots defending old people by killing all the young people.
It's like, oh, it can wield a machine gun as deftly as it can make a pot of tea. I guess that's good. That's pretty much it for the news this week. AMD Ryzen was really sort of the headline story, and there's not enough information to really draw any conclusions. I mean, you watch the press video. We've only been fed a carefully choreographed spoonful of information, and the only winning move is not to play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you would do at this point anyway. I don't think they're offering any pre-orders, are they?
No, can't pre-order.
So, you know, just, I guess, keep feeding that clickbait if that's what you want to do, but it's better.
There's a lot of people that make a lot of money on that clickbait.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one of us.
But just keep in mind, every click is going to disappoint you because nobody really knows. If they're telling you something, they're probably making it up or just guessing.
Yes. Oh, and don't forget, we might be a day or two late next week with the news because of the holiday and travel and who knows. But maybe we'll have some pre-recorded video. We were working on a lot of stuff this week. I did a video on SMB multi-channel with a network-attached storage device. And it's basically plug-and-play at this point with the Windows 10 anniversary update. We're working on some content for the Linux channel, and we were doing some motherboard reviews that we can't release until January.
But so far, it's been a positive 2016 for Level 1.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, it feels like a lot longer, but it's only been like 5 or 6 weeks. So thank you guys. Thanks everybody. Patreon's going well. We're definitely not cash flow positive, but we're getting there. So that's really good. And the community support has been unreal. So thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for supporting us and the guys and the vision and all the cool stuff. And come hang out on the forum. You know, make an account, say hi. We've got our little niches set up for Linux and open source and DIY projects and beekeeping and, you know, and all that sort of fun stuff. And come hang out. It's really interesting.
And merry non-denominational winter holiday of your choice. Or if you're somewhere else, not in this hemisphere, whatever season it is for you.
Happy unspecified December holiday. See you guys. Are you ready for a news bonus round? Because you guys stuck with us till the end. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is visual, though, so if you're on a podcast, I'm sorry. This isn't going to be as interesting.
But we had to show you this. This is so amazing. It's one of those things that I'm so glad it exists. Not because it's a good thing to have, but just because the comedy.
No. God, no.
If somebody can get some joy out of it where they otherwise wouldn't, I'm not going to call them a bad person for it.
It's $2,500 American.
Oh,
it's
just, man. If you own one of these, definitely comment in the forum.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
I want to somebody actually do a review of this thing because it doesn't seem like, I don't know. It's just,
we don't know anything about anime. And I know a lot of our audience does.
We don't.
So we just Googled this character and apparently she's like just a robot, AI character.
It's an artificial singer. It's like auto-tuned, but personified.
Yeah.
Apparently Hatsune Miku. I don't know if I got that right. But Gatebox has licensed the technology to bring you an AI.
Don't say too much about it.
Okay.
I think they should just
experience the video together.
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to put us up in the corner because this is like one of those penny anti-nonsense, stupid reaction videos. But, God, I can't believe we're doing a reaction video.
But it's okay. But once you see what we're reacting to, I think you'll forgive us.
Okay. So, yeah.
So, yeah, this is just a guy waking up, normal guy, right? Nothing weird about this dude.
Uh-oh. Is this like a science fiction movie?
Oh, and there she is.
Oh,
he's talking to her. Yeah, she's useful. So at this point in the movie, you're like, oh, okay, maybe this is like the, you know, the Amazon thing or the Google thing.
Yeah, it's like a version of Alexa from Amazon.
Which kind of makes sense, you know? But now she's texting him.
Huh.
Yeah, that's interesting. And She wants him to come home early?
Pretty sure he could be talking to his coworkers instead of...
There was a girl in the background. and she's so excited that he's coming home.
Oh, I have to go back and pause this here because he's, you know, it's obviously very late. He is the last one at his office. Yeah. What is with that in Japanese culture?
Yeah, well, that's a cultural thing. You're not supposed to leave before your supervisor.
There's nobody. It's a wasteland.
You ever see there's all pictures of guys that are sleeping in the noodle shops because it's like midnight when they go home and they
just rather stay at the noodle shop.
The public transport isn't, it would take them longer to get home, so they just sleep at the noodle shop.
I like how, you know, the cinematographer did a really good job here conveying time of day because it's like, oh, you know, you get the warmer colors. I'm learning about this. See, it's fun. It's warmer colors and just the way the light's coming in, it's really bright. And then, you know, here, obviously, this is much bluer, much darker, moodier. So this is obviously very late at night.
Well, she wanted him to come home early, but he's too dedicated.
Too dedicated.
Because the kind of guy who has an anime waifu is a dedicated worker.
Okay.
And so she's excited he's coming home.
I guess she was asleep or something.
And she's turning the lights on because she knows he's going to be home soon. That's useful.
It's kind of like Skynet. Yeah. Oh, and of course it's raining.
Again, useful.
It's obviously been dark for quite some time before he was allowed to leave the office.
Yeah, yeah, super late.
He's going to catch the bus. And instead of reading the news or making sure that the corporate overlords are not putting the planet in the shitter, he's talking to his anime waifu.
I like how she's like, I'll be waiting, as if she has a choice.
Oh, it's a nice shot of the doorknob there, yeah.
Yeah, they got those nice lever doorknobs. That's functional. Huh. And there she is. She's been waiting all day long. She missed him, and he's just sitting there with her.
They're having hot cocoa.
The 30 minutes of the day that he gets to himself, he has some tea with his wife. Oh, and she's wearing a different outfit, and I didn't notice that the first time.
Huh. That's interesting.
And this is this touching shot where he realizes that there's someone at home waiting for him.
Now that was just this was really just the cinematographer realized their horrible mistake of, wait, wasn't it raining a moment ago? And so, you know, it's like, did he go back outside when it was not raining? And, you know, what they're not showing here is that they had a terrible fight or something like that. And so he looks up and it's like, all my stuff is on. And he left after that. But no, it's just that, see, he's still got his umbrella in his hand, but the rain has apparently stopped. But it's not wet outside.
He's noticing that she's turned the lights on and he's deeply touched.
He's crippling loneliness.
And this is not the only character you can get. There are going to be a bunch of characters. Wow. Now, the first thing that came to my mind here is they should make a realistic version of this. She should complain all day long that you're not spending enough time with her. And there should be a feature where she just randomly makes Amazon purchases. And you know, like, just things show up at the house. You spend your money. So imagine, like, what if this thing contacted other people in your contact list and your mom calls? She's like, who is this Hatsune Miku? Have you finally met a girl? When can I meet her?
There's a concierge at Amazon that is actually like part of the plugin. It's an elaborate plugin system. And so there's a concierge at Amazon. There's a whole fleet of people that are employed at Amazon, kind of like the Mechanical Turk. And they mine all the social data that this personal assistant gathers. And so one of the strategies that it has is to actually call your mom and ask you what you want for Christmas or birthday or whatever so that it can order it on Amazon. It's like, oh, we've got a 2,000-watt uninterruptible backup battery from Amazon. What did you do?
There could be one that starts texting your friends. Like, it mines your contact list and starts spending more time with them. Also, you know, like the Japanese, they like to take those body pillows to, like, cafes and stuff. I bet they'll have, like, a UPS that you can get for this. It's like, how many watts do you love your waifu?
There's a handle on top. You can just grab it and go with you. God, that would be weird on public transportation.
Weird. Oh, now we're getting weird.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it could be worse.
It's amazing.
Somebody should write a novel about this dystopian future. I think it would probably be. They already have.
What about jealousy? Like, what if you're on the bus and somebody else has Hatsune Miku too? And you're like, no, she's mine.
Oh, Lord. There's no end to where this could go.
And they're all hilarious places. I know. I'm on the forum a lot, the level one forums. I know that like half of you have anime icons, but you have to admit that this was hilarious.
if you are suffering from crippling loneliness, just hang out on the forums. It's a much better solution than this. Really, come on.
There are like one or two real girls there. I'm like, this.
There's more than one or two, but yeah, they don't. It's like they want to avoid the creepiness. So we'll see. But yeah, hang out on the forums. Good solution. This, I'm not sure this is healthy.
And $2,500 cheaper.
Yeah, forums are free. Come on. It's fine. Huh. Yeah. So I don't know. Let us know what you think about that.
It's the robot revolution, man. This is the first step. And as usual, Japan's on the forefront.
It's neat. I could see how, like, you know, having a digital assistant to do stuff for you is handy. But this really doesn't seem like that exactly.
Well, she has useful things. But then the whole, like, text messages and trying to convince him to come home early, that's a weird middle ground.
2,500 American. Anyway, that's been the news. Thanks for the bonus round. Let us know what you think about this. We'll see you later.
And we know that a lot of you have anime icons. Don't give us any crap for this. That was funny.
It was kind of funny. I mean, you gotta admit. You know, sorry if you're suffering from crippling loneliness, but this is not the answer. Trust me, this is not the answer.
Maybe. Listen, we got an overpopulation problem in this country. So if that's what you got to do not to have kids, you go for it.
I don't think Japan has that problem, though.
Well, they got the other side of the problem. But you got to go through that to get back to normal.
See you guys.
See ya.